1, a little late. On a Tuesday morning, Sefer Mitzvot.
No.
Not yeah, Sefer Mitzvot,
yeah.
But on Hanukkah.
Sefer Mitzvot, except, as we all know, you could look high and low in the Sefer Mitzvot, and you won't find anything about Hanukkah. Uh-huh. No surprise, because the Rambam is very clear. In fact, in the Shorashim at the beginning, the Rambam makes clear, I don't count Mitzvot Drabbana. We either, you know, it's 613 mitzvos na'emru lo l'moshe mi-sinai. Okay, and he makes fun of people who count drabanans, because he says, how could it be that somebody's going to count as a mitzvah something that happened after Maimon Har Sinai? It can't be part of the Torah. So, we don't have to argue about that today. Let's assume for our purposes that the mitzvah of Hanukkah and the mitzvah of Lakas Ner Chanukah is not d'oraisa. Okay, it's a classic mitzvah d'rabbanan. The classic mitzvah d'rabbanan like Purim. The best example is like, you know, the parallel is Kriyas HaMegillah to Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. What's the most obvious? It's interesting because it's only d'rabbanan. What's the most obvious parallel?
Alanisim.
Yeah, but that, okay, you say Alanisim for both, but in terms of mitzvahs, Mitzvahs Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, Mitzvahs Kriyas HaMegillah. Anybody?
Someone else can do it for you.
Yeah, there's all little things. Brachos. Brachos. What is it? There's no other time, unless somebody convinced me, there's no other time you make three brachos. In both cases, you make a bracha, b'tam mitzvah, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah, sav v'tzivanu, either al mikra Megillah or lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Then you have the second bracha, which is a bracha of Alanisim, which does not exist. It's just interesting. And then you have Shechiyah. Okay, Shechiyah is not fair. But I'm saying, when we eat matzah, there's one bracha. When we eat maror, there's no bracha. That's a different question. When we do mitzvahs, when we take a lulav, when we sit in a sukkah, right? It's one bracha, plus, if it's the first time, Shechiyah. But these two have this additional bracha of Sha'asa Nisim, which maybe we'll touch on. It's a strange thing, but oftentimes Chazal protected, you know, their own mitzvahs more. It's not cheating. You know, they felt like you would naturally respect d'oraisas. You might not respect d'rabbanas as much, and sometimes you find chumras with respect to d'rabbanas that you don't find with respect to d'oraisas. I wouldn't say making a bracha is a chumra, but you see right away, and we won't talk about it today, but if you look in the Rambam, where would you find the halachas of Purim in the Rambam? Anybody know?
In the Gemara, it's Shabbos.
No, that's where it's in the Gemara. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where in the, if you open up a Yad HaChazaka, what? If you open up a Yad HaChazaka, the answer is, it's fascinating to look at it. I've mentioned this before, but it's just so staggering to me. You know, when the Rambam sat down to write the Yad HaChazaka, what did he have in front of him?
Sefer Mitzvos.
No.
Well, yes, because he wrote it, but what did he have in front of him? Nothing, a blank piece of paper. He had a Tanakh, he had a Gemara. There was nothing, no one had ever done anything like that before. So the first thing he had to do was come up with categories. You know, one category, which is obvious, is something called Zmanim. Right? No surprise. So what are the main things in Zmanim? Shabbos. So Shabbos, so that makes Erevin go in there, because it's attached, right? Then you have a thing called like Hilchos Yomim Tovim. Okay, that's generally. Then you have specific things, you know, Pesach and Sukkos, and then you have Kiddush HaChodesh, and you have Yom Kippur. Okay? At the very, very end, you have something called Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. Okay? So, why is it at the very end? Why is it not sort of in the cycle of the year? So it would have been somewhere between Sukkot and Pesach. So what's the obvious answer? The obvious answer is, it's Rabban. The Rambam put the Doraisas first, especially if you assume, as we do, that the Rambam, you know, wrote the Sefer Mitzvot, then broke them into categories. So when he looked at it, Chanukah and Purim don't exist on the list of Sefer Mitzvot because they're Drabbanan. So he put them last. Now, why did he put them together? So one answer is, it's not that much. So you don't want to make little books. So he called it Megillah v'Chanukah. As it happens, each of them are only two prakim, which makes a total of four prakim for a book in the Rambam. But that's not the answer. The answer is, if you look in the Rambam often says with respect to Hilchos Chanukah, you know, whoever is chayv in Kriyas HaMegillah is chayv in Hadlakas Neres Chanukah. We do these things on Chanukah just like we do them on Purim. Just like on Purim, right? And everybody asks, well, the Rav Salvechik asks, like, why this like incessant referencing to Purim in order to talk about Chanukah? And he said, in the idea of, you know, when Chazal had decided that they had the authority to introduce new mitzvahs, which was a bit of a chiddush, and forget new mitzvahs, because that's easier, new holidays. Like, why is that not Baal Tosef, to introduce new holidays? So the Rambam thought the fight took place over Purim. Esther and Mordechai had a fight, and the Gemara kind of recounts that, the idea that you could make a new holiday. That's why the Rambam, when he quotes Hilchos Chanukah, keeps referencing back to Purim, because the Rambam thought that Chanukah only exists because of Purim. Not because they are historically connected. You could argue yes or no. But because halachically, the fight over Purim paved the way for the existence of Chanukah.
They were alive. They fought at Mordechai and Esther.
They fought in Chanukah?
No, they fought the inclusion of
correct,
Purim.
Correct. That's the that's recounted in the Gemara. And because of that, so again, what's interesting is it's not just the Chanukah and Purim are connected because they're both Rabbanah, but it could very well be that Chanukah is just piggybacked off of Purim.
May I ask you, may I make a remark? I grew up in the yeshiva, they never talked about the Rambam. We know about the Rambam.
Really?
Is there any reason?
Mr. Weiser, I know how old you are. I know how old you are, but I had no idea you went to yeshiva before the Rambam. Maybe they didn't have, no. So it could be, I have no idea, and certainly I can't speak to Satmar, and we'll go off the topic for a second. I can't speak to what it was like growing up in Satmar when you grew up and why, but it could be tied to the fact that the Rambam was, you know, when the Rambam wrote the Yad HaChazaka, there was huge opposition. Why? Because the Rambam said, he didn't give you any sources, right? The Rambam just said, here's the halacha. So there were people who were angry at the Rambam for doing that. When he wrote the Mor Nevuchim, you know, all hell broke loose. Because then they had substantive things to, you know, to fight about, as the Mor Nevuchim wasn't... You knew about the Mor Nevuchim, but not the Rambam? I think the opposite. I always assumed that people knew the Yad HaChazaka, but not the Mor Nevuchim. If you go into the Mir now, if you go into Chevron... Tanakh, you can't learn. You know why? Because you got might make a mistake that the land of Israel is valuable to read Tanakh. So, okay, I don't know. Okay, I hear you. I hear you. Ad hayom hazeh, the Mor Nevuchim doesn't exist in most Haredi yeshivas. It's just interesting.
Really?
Because they think, you know, I'll tell you something interesting. I'll tell you something, but then we'll get back. But this is fascinating.
As I told you, I'm not was a
thank you very much. Okay. That's how you went off the derech, and now you live in Israel. It's terrible.
Is Purim and Hanukkah therefore possibly a precursor to the idea of Yom HaTzimut?
So for sure, when you want to have a conversation about the halachic of the ability of people to establish new holidays, of course you have to reference back to Hanukkah and Purim. You know, I don't think it's the end of the conversation. I think it's the beginning of the conversation. Okay.
Maybe the Briskers there are so entrenched in the American communities through all the Rabbanim and everything.
No, it's not possible. The Rambam was a player in his own life. It's not like later, you know, they used to make a Mishaberach for the, you know, for Moshe ben Maimon. He was, a lot of times you write something and then after your death you become, you know, famous. The Rambam was as famous gets in his lifetime. It's not like he was discovered later and in America and anything like that. You know, from the second he wrote the Yad HaChazaka, you look at any history of the Jewish community back then, they talk about the Rambam like right below God and like equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that can't be.
And
it wasn't.
Him and Rabbeinu Tam did not actually communicate? Like they didn't know of each other? Or?
It's hard to know. I think Rabbeinu Tam may have died before the Rambam. You think that? Rashi died. Okay, Rabbeinu Tam was alive in Rashi's lifetime. Because the Rashbam was alive in Rashi's. The Rashbam says, but is there reason to assume? Mm-hmm. So it means the Rabbeinu Tam was alive in, you know, in 1100. Okay, the Rambam was born in, you know, it's almost certainly that they. Okay, let's go. Now, can we do a little Hanukkah?
Yeah.
Fine. Let's talk about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros Hanukkah as a starting Hanukkah generally, but also for something very, very interesting. In the list of issues we talk about, things that have changed over time, things have developed, things that have unfolded in halacha, you find people always talking about women's issues and stuff like that. I think one of the most prominent examples of a development in halacha is Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah, for an incredible range of reasons, starting from this idea that originally, it seems to me at least, people lit one candle per house, to nowadays, when nobody here ever met a person who lit one candle per house. Second, in the early halacha, in the Gemara and elsewhere, it's clear that there's only one place that you put that one candle per house, and that's outside. Okay? No surprise to find. No. When it started, everybody lit outside. Now, okay, over time that changed, and it changed to the extent that now you meet people, you know, who think, okay, maybe you're supposed to light outside, but I light inside because that's what my family's been doing, and it's true. By the time you get to the Rishonim, they were lighting inside, and it's like the halacha completely changed. Again, it changed for good reasons, but we're now part. I have to say, when I was a kid, I didn't know anybody who lit outside. I didn't know a single person in America who lit outside.
Really?
You did?
No,
you're just saying that to annoy me. No. In other words, you agree. Okay? Now. Correct.
No, but
I didn't know. I knew people, I had cousins, I knew a lot of Jews, not like you.
We lit in the window.
A lot of Jews.
In the window we lit.
Right, everybody lit in the window.
Right.
Then, the first person who I took it seriously was my father-in-law, Zichron Levracha, who not only lit outside, he lit outside in Montreal, which required like this special electric, you know, lighter thing, because it was always like a hurricane and snowstorms, and you know, it was amazing, because it was serious enough. You also have to light with your gloves on, it's really hard. So let's start. There's only one Gemara. There's only one Gemara. By the way, if you ever wanted to do all the Gemaras on a single holiday, Chanukah is the one to do. It's just two blot in Shabbos. That's the entirety. Every single Gemara about the holiday of Chanukah is contained, starting in Daf Chaf Aleph of Masechah Shabbos. Here we go. Tanu Rabbanan, says the Gemara, the Brisa says as follows: Mitzvas Chanukah Ner Ish Ubeso. What does that mean? It's awkwardly written. What does it mean?
One candle.
Ner ish ubay. So literally, a candle, a person, a house. We understand it to mean, and it's clearly accepted to mean, one candle per house. Okay? Next. Vahamahadrin, next level up. Ner lechal echad ve'echad. What's that?
Each person.
Every person.
Each person what? No, it doesn't say that. It says Ner lechal echad ve'echad. How do we understand that? What's going on? I come home. Also, let's be clear. No one ever met a person who does this. No one ever saw a person. The first one is one candle each night. What's the mahadrin? Ner lechal echad ve'echad means.
Everybody in the house lights one candle.
Where do you get everybody lights? You might be right, but does it say that?
No.
What are the two possibilities? Let's put it this way. For
one,
Mahadrin.
One each night. Or one per house.
Wrong.
Per person.
What are the two possibilities? One is what you said. Everybody lights one. That is not what we think. The other is the same guy. What's the first mitzvah? One guy lights one candle for the house. Vahamahadrin, a level up from that is one guy lights a candle for each member of the household. Okay, that's the simple pshat. You could be right. But the simple pshat is it's the same guy, because you're going up a level. It's the same guy who lit one candle in the first example, now he lights one candle for everybody in his house. Okay, simple question. Why?
Yeah.
Right. What would the number of people in your house have to do what?
Pirsum HaNisa.
Okay. So Pirsum HaNisa.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting idea. I'd like to light more candles because the more candles I light, you know, the more Pirsum HaNisa, the more publicizing there is. So instead of doing it randomly, I'll do it according to the number of people in my house. Right? That's an excellent idea. It also relates a little bit to the first case. The first case is one candle per house. How do you understand that? It obviously has nothing to do with the number
one
of people.
Each night.
No, but what's it a din in then? It might be a din in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's two ways to understand a mitzvah like Halakas Neres Chanukah. Now you'll tell me I'm crazy, but there's definitely two ways. The first way is it's like all other holiday mitzvahs. It's like matzah, it's like lulav, it's like shofar, which is each of us has an obligation to do the mitzvah. Now, sometimes somebody else could be motzi me, right? I could listen to the guy blowing shofar. I can't have somebody wave a lulav for me. I can't have somebody eat matzah for me. I can't have somebody put on tefillin for me. It's a mitzvah shebegufo. But in this category of mitzvos, each individual has an obligation to do the mitzvah. Either it has to be fulfilled by him physically, or it could be fulfilled by somebody else on his behalf. But it's his mitzvah. But then we have another category of mitzvos, where the mitzvah is not to do something, the mitzvah is to achieve a result. For example, anybody? Oh, come on. Where do you light? If you light inside. No, if you light inside, where are you supposed to light? Which side of the doorway? Anybody know?
Opposite
of the mezuzah.
Hello? What kind of mitzvah is mezuzah?
It's also
in
the house.
No. A mezuzah is not, the mitzvah is not putting up a mezuzah. You have to have a mezuzah in your house. If you move into a house that has a mezuzah up, you don't take it down to be yotzei the mitzvah. If you're moving into a new house and your son puts up the mezuzah, you don't have to put up another one. The mitzvah is that it get done. Okay? There's a mitzvah d'oraisa of makir, right? A railing. No one has to buy a house in order to put up a railing. If you have a house, you need a railing. Okay? It's not a bitul mitzvah sase min haTorah to be homeless. It's unpleasant. I assume it gets cold. But, you know, no frum guy ever said, you don't have a house? How are you yotze the mitzvah mezuzah? Right? There's no such thing.
Because
the mitzvah of mezuzah is not something that weighs on me personally. It's a circumstantial mitzvah. We've talked about this before. If I'm in this circumstance, I have to put up a mezuzah. So it's possible to say, is a homeless person chayv in the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah? Okay, so it depends on this question. If it's like every other mitzvah, so of course he's chayv, so he doesn't have a house, big deal. But if it's ner ishu beso, understood literally to mean every house needs to have a candle lit in front of it, then it's possible that the guy's not mevatel the mitzvah saseh of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah because he doesn't have the mitzvah. By the way, he may still have a mitzvah of seeing Neres Chanukah, but he wouldn't have a mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah. One second. Now, I find this useful, even if it might not be true. It's out there in Achron. It's a big discussion like this. Okay, it's not clearly possible, but when you think about it, it strikes me then that the idea of the Mahadran level, the one level up, where you light one candle for each member of your household, could be related to it. Right? Once we say that it's a mitzvah on the house or on the household, it seems less crazy to then say, I want to do more. Why don't I do more based on the members of the household? right? Because it's a mitzvah on the household to begin with. It's not a mitzvah on the house itself. It's a mitzvah on the household. So it's not so crazy to say, let me light according to the number of people in the household. And then, one second, in a situation where everybody's lighting outside, and just let's assume for a second that's how it worked originally, in a situation where everybody's lighting outside, so yeah, it's like a census, you know, you walk by the house, you go, hey, they have 9 kids. Because they, you know, maybe it spurs you to have more children because you want to win the candle wars. I don't know. But all of a sudden, it's not so crazy to say, hey, you know, outside every house, like there's a sign that says how many people we have in our house. Outside every house, you light for Hanukkah, I do Pirsum Anisa based on, because it is, you know, a household-based mitzvah, so let me tell you how many people I have in my household. It also would help us to say that only one person lights. Every house has a mitzvah. The basic mitzvah is for every house to have a candle burning in front of it. You want to do more than that. The guy who would otherwise, the tati, the abba, the dad, the papa, who would be the person lighting, instead of lighting one, the mahadran is, I don't change the mitzvah, the mahadran is, I light many, many more for the number of people in my house. Just one last thing. There is another, I thought about this, maybe somebody could think of something else. There's one other mitzvah that is done by number of people in the house, sometimes.
Shabbos candles.
What?
Isn't there a korban pesach?
Yeah, but that's just how much meat you have. You have to have meat for each person. Each person, but I'm saying each person has a mitzvah of korban pesach. But sad to say, Bruce said the thing I was thinking of. There is a minhag to light candles based on how many people you have in the family. Again, I think that started where people didn't have electricity. They wanted to have more candles, but okay, they also wanted to be halachic. They also wanted to be halachic. So to just light 10 candles because I have a big chandelier and I want to light 10 candles, that was weird. So they lit based on the number of people in the family. I'll tell you, growing up, my mother lit 6 candles. We were 4 kids. And when we got married, I said to my wife, you know, obviously we'll light, you know. So she said, we'll light 2.
That's what we do.
Because one for Zachar and one for Shamar, could like my mother and my grandmother do. So then we had our first kid, and I said, but now we'll light, you know. And she said, if you want to light, I light 2. She said, if you want to light extra candles, you go ahead. Anyway, the short answer is we light 2. And I've come to love that minhag, but in fairness, it's because it's our minhag, not because...
Is it Hanukkah for each member? Or
no, so far, absolutely not. There's no doubt in my mind that at this point, there's one guy lighting, and I'll say something else, which I only thought of this morning when I saw some sources. I don't want to say anything too radical. There's no hint here of such a thing called the Hanukkah. Right? If you lit one, you didn't have a Hanukkah, and every night you lit one, it doesn't make any sense. And what would a Hanukkah be worth if you had 2 kids or if you had 8 kids? It wouldn't work. I think at this point, there's no such thing as a Hanukkah.
I think people are doing it with separate Hanukkahs.
Nowadays.
Yeah, we do.
I'm
that.
Familiar. We didn't get up to it yet. We're still at the beginning. I am well aware of the fact that the minhag nowadays doesn't look anything like what I'm describing to you, which is why I started, the point I started with was, I think this is the mitzvah that's gone through the most changes our history.
Just one light.
Yes?
If you bought a house and the next door neighbor was your good friend and you couldn't get to this house, whatever, you might ask him to put the mezuzah up for you. I'm not sure, but you certainly wouldn't ask him at Hanukkah time to make sure that there's a candle burning in front of
you. Wouldn't?
I don't think so.
I love your self-confidence. Because, I'll tell you something, when you look in the poskim, they ask a question. What if you're not going to be home at night, and your wife is not home, and you have no kids, whatever? What do you do? How are you yotzei the mitzvah? You're on a flight, okay? You're on a flight to America, where, to point out the obvious, you're not supposed to light a candle on the plane, okay? You know, the people who think you should try to light and have the stewardess stop you. You know, like insane things. Okay, fine. So you can't, there's no situation in which you could light. So these poskim, shockingly, paskin against Bruce. I don't know where they have the nerve, you know. They pass against Bruce. They say, ask your neighbor to go to your house and light in the window.
Well, if that's true, then it shows...
Maybe if that's true. He says it as if I made it up right now.
Then it shows the interest on the house, not on the person. Because the house has to have it. Like,
first of all, you say that like it's not what I've been pushing the whole time, first of all. Second, it doesn't have to mean exclusively, but it could mean there is still a kiyum of lighting on the house. Absolutely. But that, you know... Okay, so now you've made up for it because you annoyed me by getting one right, but now you double down on a wrong sheet, but it worked out. Okay, fine. So those are two. Now let's go to the third, which is really what we do, and in fact, which is one that, you know, no one ever heard of the other two. It's just the third one that we do. Now there's such a thing called Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. And what is that? Second line. VaHaMahadrin Min HaMahadrin... super religious, that's us. Beis Shammai Omrim, Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona. Okay, Beis Shammai says, first day you light 8. We're in the first source, second line at the end. Mikan ve'elach pochet v'holech. Okay, of course nobody ever saw this either, because we don't pass like Beis Shammai. But Beis Shammai says, what's the chiddush right now of Mahadrin min HaMahadrin? I'll do one. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Yom Rishon Madlik Achat. Mikan ve'elach mosif v'holeich. Just, you have to readjust. What's the chiddush of this Mahadrin min HaMahadrin? It's the first shita that has a relationship to what?
The number of days.
Right? Or, said your way, a chanukiah. Because in the first two, there was nothing having, it never went to 8. It had nothing to do with the days. It had to do with either one per house or the number of kids you have.
One per house per day.
No, one per house every day. Every day one. Lahavdil, you know, like Christians do this. Like you said, like the one candle in the window.
No.
Which I think looks lovely, frankly. It's a little tanua. It's lovely. Okay, fine. But that's not us. It's the same candle, not the same candle, but literally one candle every day. The second one was same, you know, in the first two examples, you're lighting the same number of candles every single night. Comes the Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin, with this new idea. Whatever it is in Mahadrin and Mahadrin, presumably the Hidur, the new, how would you translate Hidur? The beauty of it, let's say. Stringency, but more like, the beauty of it.
Enhancement.
The enhancement, thank you, is what? Is that every night I know what night it is. According to Beis Shammai, because I say there's 8 days left. According to Beis Hillel, because I say, presumably I know how many days have passed. And I know how many days there are in total. So I could figure out, you know, and I bet it happened to somebody here that one time you just couldn't remember, like, is it 3 or 4 or is it 4 or 5, you know, and you have to peek out the window to see what other people did, right? When we light, nowadays, it's a statement that we know what day it is and there are 8 days of the holiday. Okay?
We have a calendar. Look at a calendar.
No. No one does that. Okay. Now, also, because you could never tell what day it is on the calendar.
Yeah.
Right. It's like
they tell you. In fact, they tell you how many lights.
Yeah, but you don't know. Was that like last this. Night or tonight?
They don't tell. Well, that day.
It doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, so the first sheet. So the Mahadrin in Mahadrin is it's based on the number of days, either 8 down to 1, or 1 up to 8. Now it gets a little complicated, but unnecessarily. That's the whole thing. But now we have discussion.
Who goes the 8 down to 1?
Huh? Give us a chance. We'll get there. Now, before we look at anything else, let me ask you. Who's lighting? According to Mahadrin and Mahadrin.
One person.
Again, let's just say this. Forget what we know from our own personal whatever. I'm just asking you. It says in the Gemara. Okay? Mahadrin and Mahadrin. Beishamir omim yom rishon madlik shmona. Mikan velech pochet volech. Beitil omim yom rishon madlik achat. Mikan ve'elach mosif v'holech. Who's lighting?
Still there, Ishmael.
Ah, so one sec. So it could be that. Right. It could be. Maybe the simplest reading is, well, if the first one was one guy, and the second one was one guy, so the third level is also one guy.
In my father's house.
Okay.
Rabbi, it's lit for everybody.
Okay. One second. We'll get to your father's. We'll leave a minute at the end for family stories. Okay. Now. So it's possible to say that. And then what I said is, so what's the Hidur? What's the Mahadrin min HaMahadrin? Well, this great thing that you light according to the number of days. But what's the problem with that? The problem with that is what Mr. Levy said before, which is instinctively or intuitively we think that the hiddur is more candles. So take, for example, a family that has 8 kids. So Mahadrin, you're lighting 10, but Mahadrin Minha Mahadrin, the most you're lighting is 8. So you could say, okay, but Mahadrin Minha Mahadrin is, you know, super because it has to do with the number of days. Or you could say, no, it has to be that everybody lights. Because if we want to say Mahadrin Mahadrin is the greatest hiddur, then it wouldn't make sense if only one person lit, and it must be that everybody lights. I'm raising these issues now because obviously this is machlokas ad hayom hazeh. How many menorahs a family needs? So I'm saying you could, every good machlokas only exists because you could see both shitos in the original source. And all I want to point out right now is nobody could tell me definitively. I would say, I have to tell you the truth, I would say I think the simplest reading is one guy's lighting in all three, and it's just a level up. But again, that leads you to the problem that the Mahadrin and Mahadrin in our minds should be the most candles, and it seems like it wouldn't be.
If they meant this, other people should light, they would have said.
It's a fair point. We'll see that people really think that, and I don't think they said one way or the other. It's just. It really has to do with. It has to do with, again, because do it the other way. What mitzvah wouldn't you want to do yourself? See, I've loaded the deck towards the family, you know, the one house, whatever, only because I know everybody thinks otherwise. But start the other way, okay? Lulav. What, one guy takes a lulav for the house? Right?
Maybe they did. Maybe
no, they didn't. I tell you definitively, they didn't. And who, you know, I'd love to pay somebody to eat my maror. You know, like one person in the house has to eat maror. Great. We don't have anything like that. So, again, I'm stacking the deck because I want to make it clear that I think it may have started that way, but it's not 100% clear. Now, let's just look at the machlokas. What's the machlokas? 1 up to 8 or 8 down to 1? So the Gemara has 2 possible. There's a machlokas about the machlokas. Okay? 2 ways of understanding what they're really fighting about. Here we go. Amar Ula, 4th line in the middle. Pligi batre amorei b'marava. There are 2 amoraim who have a machlokes about what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are fighting about. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Chad amar taimo de Beis Shammai. The reason for Beis Shammai is kineged yamim hanichnasim. Beis Shammai wants you to know how many days are left to Chanukah? The time of the Beis Hillel kineged yamim hayotzim, and Beis Hillel want you to know how many days have passed. Okay, now we'll just stop here for a second. So this is in line with what I said, that the reason the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is focused on letting you know how many days, what they were up to. Somehow that's very, very important. So according Beis Shammai Beis Hillel both agree that the reason we light the number of candles we light every night is to let you know what day of Chanukah it is. Just happens to be that one person thinks the way to do it is to let you know how many days have passed, how many days are still to come, and that's 8 down to 1. And Beis Hillel thinks no, the way to do it is to show you how many days have passed already, and that's 1 to 8. I have to say, on this point, I would definitely do Beis Shammai. It just makes more sense. A, because I don't know anything. You lit 2 tonight. Okay, I know there's 2. How many more days left to Chanukah are there? I don't know. Right? Okay. According to Beis Shammai, you look at it, you go, there's 8 days left. There's 7 days left. There's 6 days left. More than that, I have to say, for me, when you imagine the miracle, the first night you had the most oil, and then it kept going down. Mm-hmm. Okay, but Lemaisa, we always pass them like Beis Hillel. So we pass on like Beis Hillel. But again, in this first explanation of the Machlokes, the whole point is, what day of Chanukah is it? I'll make one other point. Rashi, if I ask you, okay, why are we going to light, tonight's not a great example, why are we going to light 2 tomorrow night? We pass on like Beis Hillel. What's the answer? Because 2 days have passed, but 2 days haven't passed. It's only 1 day that's passed. Right? Mm-hmm. So Rashi says because 2 days have passed, but I think it's a Beis Halevi who says no, there's a much better explanation for why we do this, and I like this so much. He says one is always the mitzvah. Right? Ner Yishubeso. You have to light one. The next one, why do we light two? The next one says one day has passed. 8 days have never passed when you're lighting. When you light eight, the answer is I light one because that's the mitzvah. I light seven because 7 days have passed. Just, it's a lovely pshat. It doesn't change anything, l'maisa, but it's a lovely pshat when you think about it. That's first. The second explanation for the machlokes moves us away from Chanukah.
Just, why do we think Why do we think it's a machlokes at all? Why not just allow people to follow?
Like it's a machlokes. It says it's a machlokes.
Well, what's the machlokes? I mean, I understand that. Yeah, why don't they resolve? Why can't people follow the derech of their rabbi? Like we have today different shita.
No.
And you follow your rabbi. Why does it have to be resolved? It's not a...
You're saying, what you're really saying is something insulting, as always, which is, it's not important enough. Who cares?
Well, it's important enough for each position, which has a legitimate perspective. It's so, not really resolved.
So the question of where do you have, which machloksim have to be resolved and which machloksim don't have to be resolved is an interesting question in the history of halacha. It really is. But it's clear that machloksim in the Gemara are almost always resolved. And all machloks in Beis Shammai Beis Hillel are resolved in favor of Beis Hillel. Now again, maybe it changes it from being a minhag to being a halacha, right? We don't want to have halachos be resolved by do what your Rebbe does. We're happy to have minhagim resolved by do what your Rebbe does. So, in terms of Kiddush on Friday night, sometimes you meet people who stand the whole thing, sometimes you meet people who sit the whole thing, sometimes you meet people who sit in the middle. My wife told me, you know, in her family they stood for Kiddush Friday night, and some old Rebbe came on a Friday night. He was a guest, and he sat down in the middle. They thought he was having a heart attack. Like he couldn't stand anymore. Okay, they'd never seen him before.
We always sit.
Huh? We sat. Lazy. Well, Germans.
One
second. So the answer is, again, I don't want to get dragged into this discussion. The answer is, there are things that are minhagim, and then that the beauty of Judaism is, yes, people do it according to different minhagim. For example, I think you could claim, okay, here's a good one. Motzei Shabbos. Who makes Havdalah first and then lights Chanukah candles? Who lights Chanukah candles first and then makes Havdalah? So the answer is, that Minhag Yerushalayim is to light Chanukah candles first and then Havdalah. Most people have the minhag to do otherwise. When you look it up in the poskim, it's a machlokes, and the Mishneh Berurah basically says, do what you want. You know, you can do anything. So,
is it different?
Sometimes we, you know, sometimes it's a minhag, and sometimes it's a minhag, and you could do what you want. You know, the phrase, it doesn't come up that often. The phrase da'avid kemar avid u da'avid kemar avid means there's no wrong answer here.
Right.
So I would say sometimes that presumably when we paskin, we think there's a wrong answer. We think the right thing to do is to light one going up to eight. Why? Either because we care very much about, you know, the days, which I doubt, or the second explanation, where the Gemara says in the second to last line of one, v'chad omar, here's what the machlokas is. Taima de Beis Shammai kineged parei hachag. The reason Beis Shammai moved down from 8 to 1 is because when we bring karbonos on Sukkos, we start at 13 and we move down to 7. So there's some kind of not just halachic precedent, but halachic model of moving down. Of course, the question is, what does Chanukah have to do with Sukkos? But that's one question. V'taima de Beis Hillel demalin bakodesh ve'ein moridin. That unrelated to Chanukah, we have a rule, and the rule is you always want to go up Bakodesh, you never want to go down Bikidusha. And so that rule applies in 50 places in Halacha. Unrelated to Chanukah, it applies in this case. So it would be wrong to violate that rule. Okay? Yes.
Something
Wait. Last thing, then you'll go. The Lemaisa, the reason, might have a halachic nafkamina. Whether we claim that Beis Hillel wants to know how many days have gone by, or Malin Bakodesh Vein Moridin. What if, okay, you light one the first night, You light two the second night. Now you're on vacation the third night. You're on a cruise someplace, and you only have two candles. It's the third night. How many do you light?
One.
Huh? One second. How many do you light? So one should be the answer, because to light two would make it seem it's the wrong night. But what if the reason is Malin Bakodesh Velo Moridin? If you light only one, you're in violation of that explanation, because last night you lit two, now you're lighting one. So poskim have a suffolk in exactly that case. If the reason is Kineged Yamai, okay, so big deal, I don't have enough candles, so I'll light one. Nobody think that by lighting one, it's the first night of Hanukkah. They'll understand I only have one, or I'm doing it Neri Yishu Beso. But if Malin Bakodesh Vein Moridin, I can't go backwards, then I have to light two, even though there's no rational explanation for two. Yes?
There's something in favor of Beit Shammai from the Sfadim Chitzonim, the Apocrypha.
Shouldn't we not learn those?
The second book of the Hashmonaim,
yeah.
It mentions that when the Maccabim, the Hashmonaim, came into the Beit HaMikdash,
mm-hmm.
and they celebrated Sukkot because they couldn't do it because of the battle, and Sukkot had 8 days, so, you know, yeah. There's some kind of kesher there.
I didn't want to show off, I knew that. I was going to say that in a minute, but it's a good point. There is this kind of bizarre connection between Sukkot and
that's not bizarre.
And Hanukkah. What?
That's not bizarre. They missed Sukkot and now they want to celebrate it.
Why'd they blow shofar?
If they wouldn't have blown shofar, who knows? I mean,
it's like Pesach Sheni. Okay, there is a lot of stuff to be said about that. That's an interesting point. Maybe I wouldn't have said it. I'm glad you said it. Okay, now the way I've set it up is, you know, each one keeps moving up one to the next to the next. But it's also possible to support our minhag. I assume almost everybody here has more than one menorah in their family. Huh?
Don't mean that.
No, I'm saying.
When you were the kids home.
Right.
Yeah, when the kids were home.
Okay.
It's kind of because of minhag. For instance, I grew up as one person.
Good. So I want to get there.
Here, everybody.
Give me a chance. I want to get there. That's exactly what I want to get to.
Also, my minute.
Huh?
Also, my minute.
Like soft, huh?
Also, at Shabbos, we
multi Shabbos. That's the minute here also. Okay, now, look at Tosfos number two. Let's try to make some progress. It says Tosfos. Oh, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't do that at all. I'll say the following. Okay, how did we land up with where we are now? It's clear that the machlokas comes back to how you read the Gemara. And whether mahadrin mina mahadrin means the most number of candles, right? Or it means, no, having to do with the number of days. Because if you look at number two in Tosfos, it says, v'ha mahadrin mina mahadrin nira l'rid de Beis Shammai Beis Hillel lo kaimi el aner ishu beiso. The machlokas within Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, it goes back to the original shita of ner ishu beiso, one person lighting. By the way, it means that Tosfos thought that the second shita was more than one person lighting. That the in-between place of everybody, you know, one candle per person, Tosfos clearly thinks one candle per person, more than one person lights. But let's see. Okay? Lo kaim el ani ishu beiso. Shekein, yesh yoter hidur, de'ika hekeira, you could tell the difference, kishe mosif v'holech o mechaser. When one person lights, you could tell what day it is. Shehu kineged yamim hanichnasim o hayotzim. He says, aval im oseh ner lechol echad, if every person lights a candle, afilu yosif mikan ve'elach, and the second night every person lights two candles, and then the third night every person lights three candles, leka hekera, you can't tell. Sheyisperu shekach yesh bnei adam babayit. When I walk past us, I think, oh, they have 80 kids. Tosfos clearly thinks that the way to do it, the mahadrin, min ha-mahadrin, is to be able to tell what night it is. Again, I think you're talking in a situation where people didn't light menorahs. They just put out candles and lit kineged the number of people. I think that that's a development. Even nowadays, Sometimes you walk by a house, like on a Friday night, all the children are home and there's some grandchildren, whatever. You have no idea, right? There's just rows and rows of menorahs. It's nothing you can do about it. But, there is some loss of being able to see how many days it is, although you could claim that nowadays we're really lighting for inside. And inside you could tell, how many candles there are on a menorah. Okay, we're going to run out of time. So let me touch on something else, which is, where do we have a parallel to this kind of structure in halacha? Where you come to the halacha, and the halacha says, okay, here's the basic way to do the mitzvah. Here's a better way to do the mitzvah. Here's the best way to do the mitzvah. The answer is... What do you have?
You have a
cheaper,
moderate, and expensive way.
No, I made that up to make money. That's not like... Where in halacha does it say, here's the sug A, sug Aleph, sug Bet, sug... There's no such thing. It's true that the hiddur mitzvah has very much to do with Esrog, right? Pre-Eitz Hadar is not just... But let me say this. You never find this in halacha. You never... Let me repeat, just so we can have a good fight. You never find this in halacha. Now you go.
Right. Rambam says in Hilchot Tefillah,
yeah,
you start at Yishtabach. And Chachamim say, if you want to be Mahadir, you add Pesukei Dezimra.
Didn't say that there's no Hiddur Mitzvah. Of course there's Hiddur Mitzvah. What I said was, there's no situation where you find, here's the basic, here's the more advanced, here's the most advanced. There's no such thing like that in halacha.
That's what we do in Tefillah.
No, we don't. That's like saying every lechatchil and bidiyevet is hiddur mitzvah. No, it isn't. It's not hiddur mitzvah.
Lechatchil and bidiyevet. Lechatchil, according to the Rambam, you start at Yishtabach. That's where Shacharit begins, according to the Rambam.
Wrong. The Rambam said Baruch She'amar and Ashrei and Yishtabach. 1,000%. This is getting better than I thought.
I learned it 2 days ago.
You mislearned it 2 days ago. The Rambam says Birchos Kriya Shema, right?
Starts at Yishtabach. Chachamim say, you want to be Mahadir, you say some.
Did the Rambam say Asher Nasan Lasachvi Bina Adachim Ben Yom Ben Laila?
That's Birkot Hashachar, Birkot Hashachar.
Okay, good. Did he say Baruch Sha'amar?
No. I mean, he personally did, because he was a tzaddik.
You're already backtracking.
Okay. If you want to be mahadir, then you add...
Again, I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing it's not hiddur mitzvah. Yeah. There's no hiddur mitzvah. I'm saying you do not find a gemara that says, here's the mitzvah, here's the maisa mitzvah, here's the better form of the maisa mitzvah, here's the best form of the maisa mitzvah.
Kashrus.
Glatt. No, it's a word, mahadrin. Glad. You know, like I want my pizza to be mahadrin. It just became
glad kosher cheese.
Right, again, there are chumros and there are less chumros. I'll prove to you this isn't hiddur mitzvah. I'm only saying this to try to make the point that this is not hiddur mitzvah. Watch how I'm sure. There are rules for hiddur mitzvah. Look at number 5. D'tanya, what?
Davening is customizable. I think that's the point you're trying to get to. You
want
to add this?
That's the point you want me to get to.
Because, some...
I don't know. You want to skip, skip. Don't blame it on me.
I mean, this is more advanced. No, it's just...
Okay, watch.
You want to add this to your doubting? Make that part of
your... Maybe. Cool. Maybe. We're going to look in a second. D'tanya. Look at number 5. Zekeli ve'anvehu. It's strange. It's a pasuk where? In Shir HaSayam. Right? This is my God, and I will beautify him. What does it mean? Says the Gemara. Hitna'el lefanav b'mitzvot. Okay, make him beautiful through mitzvot. How? Asei lefanav sukana'e, make a beautiful sukkah. Velulav na'e, buy a beautiful lulav. Vishofar na'e, have a beautiful shofar. Tzitzit na'e, sefer Torah na'e. Just interesting. One second. Interesting, they're all objects. Right? None of these are the way you do a mitzvah. They're just the object of the mitzvah. Uksobo lishmo bidyona, I write bright beautifully in the Torah. Bekumus na'abel, okay, fine. That's it. Now we have a rule. Here's the question, and you should know this halacha l'maisa. You're shopping for an esrog, okay? You find a good esrog for, 100 shekel, just because I can't do math. Okay? You find a good esrog for 100 shekel. Now the guy shows you a better esrog for 150 shekel. Okay, that would be, by my math, 50% more. Do you have to buy it or not? Should you buy it or not? Says the Gemara in number 6, Ela Amar Rav Zeira behidur mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. That hidur mitzvah is up to a third. Meaning, you don't have to spend 150 shekel to buy a more beautiful, doesn't say you can't, but you don't have to. Maybe you could argue you're not supposed to. I don't know. But clearly, that's the rule of hidur mitzvah. Okay? It's math. Now, somebody point out why it can't be that what we just read in the Gemara in terms of basic, middle, and highest level of lighting could be hidur mitzvah. Why can't it be hidur mitzvah of the classic sense? Correct! Because two candles cost 100% more than one candle. And eight candles cost 800% more than one candle. And the Gemara makes it absolutely clear, it's not subject to a machlokis, that the limit of hidur mitzvah is a third. So everybody kind of understands that the Gemara used a word hidur, but it probably doesn't really mean hidur mitzvah of the type that we know. Which is why it's not, you know, basic hidur. Which is why everybody does the third level. Right? Just give me a chance because we're going to run out of time. Everybody does the third level. What I want to claim is that the Gemara set up, and I'm sure it's not me, the Gemara set it up to make us feel good. To make it clear that there are these other levels that nobody does. Right? We didn't know anybody does them. But you should feel good. You are trying to do it at the highest possible level. Because, I'll show you something else that's fascinating. Everybody knows, except Mr. Weiser, because he didn't learn Rambam when he was a kid. But everybody knows that one of the hallmarks of the Rambam is how his self-control, meaning no editorial comments. He gives you the halacha without, you know, without telling you. It's just, he's very, very self-controlled. And he writes very, very carefully. Now look in number 7. In Hilchos Chanukah, Megillah v'Chanukah, Perek Daz, the last Perek, Halacha Yud Bet, says the Rambam, Mitzvat Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chavivahi Ad Ma'od. Loosely translated, God, I love Chanukah. You know, he doesn't say that about Sukkos, he doesn't say that about Pesach, he says, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chavivahi Ad Ma'od. It's the most beloved mitzvah. Now we'll just read the rest. Halacha. V'tzarich adam lehizaher ba. And you have to be very careful. Kidei lahodiyah hanes. In order to publicize the miracle. Ulahusif b'sheva chakel. And to add on to praises of God. V'hodaya lo al hanisim she'asa lanu. The Rambam, I believe, really thinks that lighting Chanukah candles is an act of praising God. It's like halal. Afilu ein lo ma yochal. Right, you have no food. Ela min atzdaka, you have to beg, or you have to borrow. Shoel o mocher kisuto v'lokech shemen v'neirot u'madlik. You have to do what you have to do in order to light a din that does not apply to lulav, does not apply to matzah, both mitzvos d'oraisa. So the simple pshat is because there's a din called pirsumei nisa, right? You have to publicize the miracle, and that requires, you know, a higher level of observance. But I think a form of this has to be the case, which is we have taken upon us, you know, chumros, and we've built everything around lighting the menorah. Why? At a certain level, the whole fight, the whole miracle of Chanukah is the result of the fact that we revolted against the... I never know who they are. Okay, we revolted against them. Now, why do we revolt? They didn't cause us to violate the big three, right? There was no violation of Avodah Zarah. There was no requirement that we do Gilui Arayos. There was no requirement that we kill anybody. When you go to war, you're risking your life, right? Who gave us the right to risk our lives to start this war? Who are the Maccabim? So again, part of that may be the tension we have about the Maccabim, but it's clear that on some level what happened was we said we're no longer willing to live like a bidyeved life of Jews, where you're going to let us do just a tiny bit but you're not going to let us do the things we want to do. We're not going to be able to do Bris Milah. We're not going to be able to do, you know, Rosh Chodesh. We're not, we'll be able, you know, technically speaking, we'll still be on some level observant. But practically speaking, we'll never feel like we're really being the kind of Jews we're supposed to be. If that's why we revolted against, then it's clear that the reason why we're so invested in Hadlakas Neros Chanukah is because that's become our way of saying, I really think on some level, it's not true literally, but it's true philosophically, that Chazal gave us, you know, this basic level, a next level, and the highest level, so we could do the highest level. So that we could say the reason why the revolt took place was because we were unwilling to be bidyeved Jews. We were unwilling to just do the minimum and be yotze that way. And we picked a mitzvah, and we artificially set it up so that there's now a thing called maximal observance of the mitzvah of Chanukah, of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah. Why? Is it such a big deal? So you could argue that there was a time where candles were very expensive, and I think there may have been a time like this, and really it did make a big difference. I can't tell you whether that's true or not true historically, but I can tell you that there is no model like this in Halacha, and the reason is clear. Because we want to all be machmirim with respect to the mitzvah of Chanukah. Because the whole holiday of Chanukah was a statement by Jews saying, we want to observe, you know, we want to observe Judaism on the highest level possible, on the most maximal level possible. It's not okay with us to just do what we do. You know, Purim was caused by a gzeirah to wipe out the Jews. We either fought or we were going to be exterminated. But Chanukah doesn't have anything like that. And in all the different versions of the history of Chanukah, whatever, it's unpleasant. You know, we're subject to some kind of persecution, it's true. But we didn't have to revolt. And if we're all in on the holiday, if we're going to celebrate the revolt, we have to understand why we revolted. And if we revolted because we simply were unwilling to lead a life where each time you have to make a decision, you know, should I do this? Can I do this? Would I do this? Is it important enough or not? So the answer is we stepped up and we said, we're going to do this. And therefore, I believe everything relating to Chanukah from Hallel Shalem is artificially, you know, inflating Avodas Hashem, because that's what the essence of Chanukah is. When the Rambam says, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Admod, I really believe the Rambam loved lighting, you know, his menorah, because he really saw it as an act of, you know, praising God in the form of lighting. There is, I'll end with this, there's no other mitzvah, you'll tell me I'm wrong, there's no other mitzvah that I could think of where you recreate the miracle. It's true, we eat matzah because they ate matzah in Mitzrayim. But we don't, you know, we walk around the table with pillows if we do that. But here, you know, we made up this thing. Chazal came and said, there's a miracle with oil, and there's a miracle of a war. Let's all take our own menorahs. You know, we're so used to it. What a chiddush. They made up a new object. Right? To read a Megillah is easy. Okay, we have a story. It looks like Sefer Torah. Here, they made up this thing, and I think it developed over time. What? I know, but that's a pasuk in the Torah. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Here, Chazal basically made this whole thing up to recreate a miracle, and I think, you know, when you do it, okay, enough.
Wouldn't
go.
You say it's subtly they were trying to destroy us?
Who?
Subtly they were cutting out the mitzvahs and making the trying to destroy us that way. Not by.
Yeah, you could say, yeah.
I have no idea why.
Happy Chanukah to you.
Yeah, we have a shirt. We have a shirt. Thank you, Ellie.